to the Word of God, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. There are outlines on the various tables and chairs. You can locate one of those and follow along to help you trace our thoughts and refer back to those throughout the week. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. As we begin this morning, let me ask you a couple of questions. Here's the first question. What got you out of bed last year? Perhaps it was the prodding of a spouse. Get up. I want breakfast. Not recommending that. Perhaps it was, get up, honey. We need to be able to buy groceries. Perhaps it was the prodding of a parent. If you want to drive the car, get out of bed and get going. Perhaps it was the persistence of a child. Get up, daddy. You promised me that today we would... dot, dot, dot. All kinds of motivations were likely in play last year. But this is this year. So it's a good time to ask and answer, what is good motivation to get us out of bed this year and get us out of bed with energy, with enthusiasm, and engaged in stuff that really, really matters? The answer to today's question and this year's question comes in simply in 8 letters in the alphabet. 8 wake-up letters. Here they are. Letter 1, H. Letter 2, I. Letter 3, S. I'm going to quit counting because I'll get confused pretty quick. I think I threw a blank in there. That's free. But here's the rest of the letters. S, T, O, R, Y. Did I hit all the blanks? H-I-S, fill in the blank. There's, take the blank, S-T-O-R-Y. His story. This gets any and all of us out of bed in the days ahead. Here is our wake-up motivation. Now, as we think of those two words, his story, our brains probably are locking onto another word, history. History is God's story. Some of us may have enjoyed history in school. Some of us may have endured or hated history as a subject. Here's something that grabs all of our interest. All of history is God's story, his story. The people, the places, the events, God is always present and active, even in what we might label bad history. And as we step into these couple of verses in Galatians, we would say from our perspective, it is somewhat a chapter of bad history. But God is active. God is moving. God is present. And today, we are all living in the blessing of God's active presence in that bad chapter of history. Here's the thought and the truth that drives us throughout our study this morning that we want to take into the week ahead. God never changes his story. This book open before me that you have, the Bible is God's story. It's people, places, and events. But it all is focused and centered on the work of God. God never changes his story. What do we need to do? Let God write our story. And all of us need a rewrite of our story. From a positional standpoint, also from a practical standpoint today, and some of the truths that we sang about this morning reminded me of that. Reminded me of my family history, and for many of your family histories, of chains that have been broken by the power of God. That's what we all need, and that's what's available to us this morning. God never changes his story, so let's let God write our story. Galatians 4, that first phrase, God the Father sent his son Jesus to rewrite your life story. Let's look at three wake-up calls or three wake-up truths to kickstart our life, to kickstart the year before us. Wake-up truth number one. When the fullness of the time came. Truth number one, God is a promise keeper. God is a promise keeper. Let me ask you, I know the answer for me. Do you know anyone who's ever failed to keep a promise? We've all been there. And we've been on both sides. And if you can't think of anybody, probably if we look in the mirror, that's us as humans. We're not perfect. And everyone else in the building and in our lives is not perfect. We're all sinners. We know someone who's failed to keep a promise to us. And we're guilty of not always keeping our promises. History and his story, God's story, this book is the record of a promise-keeping God. And I didn't give you the blank there, but a 100% promise-keeping God. God never fails to keep his word. A couple of words that you can take with you. Start touching on some of the theological truths of Scripture. And here's a couple things to write down. Plan, promises, fingerprints, preciseness. Plan, promises, fingerprints, preciseness. All dealing with the fullness of God's time. Before we ever were a part of this planet, and ever a part of history. Before the creation of the world, God in his eternal plan planned this world, planned our lives, planned redemption, and he's never had to change his story. Now, I can't explain everything about the past, and neither can you. And our heads will spin, and our hair will fall out. The longer we just kind of try and understand everything, we can't understand everything, but we can take great comfort and get out of bed because God has an eternal plan that involves us and that he never has to change. In that plan, he laid out all kinds of markers for us to discover him, to understand him in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the promises, the prophecies of God, all fingerprints pointing to the identity of the Messiah, telling us the Messiah was coming, giving us enough evidence to recognize him, which is what the Old Testament is chiefly all about. And now, in the perfect time we especially celebrate at Christmas, the Messiah has shown up. According to the plan and fulfillment of the promises, giving us enough fingerprints to recognize. Then I gave you that word preciseness. That word, that phrase, the fullness of time, talks about the preciseness of God's plan, his sovereign plan from eternity past. Fullness of time, it's kind of a unique phrase. We don't run around saying that every day. But it simply means at a date set by the Father. And you can ask yourself, why then? Why not now? And here's the answer. He did what he chose to do. I'm going to rest in that and get out of bed because of that. In the timing of God, the choice of God, the Messiah shows up. And we get just a little inkling of the perfection of God as we examine some of the details of that plan. Again, it wasn't a great period of time in history. They had all kinds of issues, all kinds of political issues, all kinds of corruption. But 2,000 years ago, God used the culture of the Greeks to give the world a common language. In the fullness of time, 2,000 years ago, God used the evil Roman Empire to bring in a culture of forced peace and used the ingenuity of the Roman Empire that built interstate roads of 2,000 years ago to all the empire. They were interested in commerce. They were interested in economics. But God is using all those things, all those common things, to spread the news of the gospel rapidly throughout the empire to everyone at all rungs of society. He's just as active today. With all the barriers we have throughout the world, in various countries, with the cultural dynamics, God is still active, very creatively getting his word out. And we are a part of that. Being able to receive the truth, but also using the resources available to us to share the truth. God's got this. God is active. He's present. And he even uses bad history for his holy, sovereign purpose. We've talked quite a bit about the promises of God, the Old Testament prophecies, in the latter part of last year. We're not going to spend much time on that today. But as we come to the Christmas story and move with the Christmas story to the Easter chapter of Jesus' story. Those Messiah promises jump out at us. Again, those fingerprints help us identify who Christ is. And if we can trust the Messiah promises, then we can also trust the me promises. There are all kinds of promises in the Bible that are directed at you. Now, you always have to read the Bible in context. Sometimes he's given a promise to Israel. Sometimes it's to Abraham, a specific person. But there are all kinds of promises for us. Ones like, call on me and I will answer. Come and I will receive you. Confess our sins and find forgiveness. We need to trust the Messiah promises. We can also trust the me promises. God the Father sent his son Jesus to rewrite your life. A key to this rewriting is the Bible. Here's the opportunity before us this year to move into his story, to move in his promises, to bring our life to the Bible and the Bible to our life. So we think about where we were and what we did with the Bible last year and where we want to go this year. You know, in the year, I get all kinds of books and options, you know, read through this through the year, do this particular study, and they're all good. But I can't do, I'm likely not going to be able to do all six of the options on my desk. So I need to choose. And sometimes it's okay to readjust a couple months into it, but decide. Make a choice. Set a goal. Set a target. What am I going to do with the Bible this year? How am I going to get into the Bible, and how am I going to allow the Bible into my life? What gets me out of bed? God is a promise keeper, and he's spoken, and he has been active in history, and he's active in my life. Number two, here's another wake-up call for us, a wake-up truth. God sent Jesus. Born of a woman. That rings the truth, the reality of the virgin conception of Christ, and we often refer to it as the virgin birth of Christ. I'm not going to spend time solely on the virgin birth, the virgin conception of Christ, but today focus on the humanity of Christ. We're going to look at a couple of doctrinal truths when it comes here. But here's a wake-up truth for all of us this morning. Number one, God's a promise keeper. Number two, God's a picker-upper. God's a cleaner-upper. I asked you if you knew anyone who's never kept a promise. Here's a second question for you. Do you know anyone who is a messy? Some of you are looking in the family. I know which one it is. Do you know anyone who's a messy? Who's messed up? Look in the mirror. That's all of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all y'all. starting up here. We are all messy. And there's a sense we're all messed up from the start of our life. History and his story are the record. The Bible is the record of a creative God and a recreative God. And that's good news for all of us today. I think you have a couple blanks in your outline. You can write this word, these words: recreation, renewal, and refreshment. Think of the word recreation. Recreation vehicles. Think of what you like to do for recreation. What is that really talking about? Just kind of look at that word for a moment and close off the first two letters, R-E, and what do you see? Creation. Do that with renewal, new. With refreshment, fresh. You know, the idea of going out, having fun, carries with it creating, recreating, enlivening, bringing new, fresh life into us. And there is a place for that and a need for that this year in your life. That's what God does in the spiritual realm. He creates and recreates us spiritually, bringing a new freshness into our lives. And for us as followers of Jesus, that's the great adventure. No matter where I have come this far in my life, as I look at the past, there are hills to climb, adventures to live, missions to accomplish for every one of us and this church in the days ahead. And we need a creative, fresh, enlivening God and walk with God in our lives this year. God sent his son. He stepped into earth time. He stepped into our life messes to move us to better places. Places that we could not get on our own. A number of deep, foundational, doctrinal truths centered around the idea that God is someone who wants to come in and pick up and clean up our life. He has a sovereign plan from eternity past. As we look at this second truth, God sent his son. That tells me his son was already in existence before he stepped on this planet. His son was already in existence before he was conceived by the Spirit of God in the body of Mary. There's a lot of groups out there that deny that Jesus existed before Bethlehem. That's not what the Bible says. And if anybody tells you that, that is a warning sign to avoid them and avoid their teaching at all cost. God sent his son, Jesus. If God's deity and Jesus is his son, we could spend hours on this, but it clearly tells us that Jesus is deity. He's divine. He's God. Again, there's another warning for all of us. Anybody who denies the preexistence of Christ, anybody who denies that Jesus is God, their teaching is to be shunned and avoided and confronted. Jesus Christ not only existed before Bethlehem, Jesus Christ was God before Bethlehem. He's still God today. And in that moment of time, months before the Bethlehem moment, God took on humanity. the humanity of Christ. We needed a Savior who is both divine and human, so he could be our substitute, so that he could be our sacrifice, so that he was able to come in and pick up and clean up our messy lives. If you can trust the Messiah promises, you can trust the me promises. And if Jesus came to clean up your life, if he came to clean up my life, I need the clean. I and you need Jesus clean. It starts with salvation. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You are deity. Jesus is God, who took on humanity to be my substitute, his sacrifice, all that detailed. Answers my sin problem. I need to cry out to God. Receive the gift of salvation. Starts with salvation. Then there's another big theological word, sanctification, which is growth, being holy, moving forward with God. You know, for us as Christians, and I've been a Christian, over 50 years of my life. I need that sanctifying cleaning up in my life every day. I need to call out to God, God, be merciful. I'm confessing my sin. Cleanse me of my sin. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus, to rewrite your life history. One key is the Bible, bringing the Bible into your life and your life into God's story. Another key is accountability. We don't go through the Christian life simply alone. We'll flesh this out in our last wake-up truth just a little more, but God gives you help. Help that we all need in others. We need accountability. And we need to take the medicine that God gives us in Scripture and allow others to speak truth into our life and hold us accountable. We need to embrace the remodel project that God has set out for us. God is a promise keeper. God is a picker-upper, cleaner-upper. Wake up truth, number three. Another reason to get out of bed this week. The passion of God. God is passionate about his family. History is the record of God's family love. In fact, you take your Bible and you turn to the New Testament. As we move through the Gospels, the life of Christ, and the foundation of the church. The church was God's idea. And then we move into Acts. And the rest of Scripture is so centered on church, the body of Christ. And he tells us how to do it. He tells us what to do when we go off rail. What our foundational beliefs are to be, what our focus is to be, our agenda is to be. The whole New Testament tells us all that God is passionate about his family, about the body of Christ. It's the record of God's family love. He redeemed us that we might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. Followers of Jesus, when we come to faith and trust in Christ, when we're born again, when we become a Christian, we begin to enjoy a personal, intimate relationship with Papa. I don't use the word Papa very often. That wasn't part of my vocabulary growing up much, but that's the phraseology that is used, like in verse 6. Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. You can flesh it out however you want. It emphasizes that personal, intimate relationship with the God of the universe that we all can enjoy because of our faith relationship with God through Christ. What do we learn about Papa, Daddy, from the scriptures? He's not only personal and he's intimate with us, he's also providing an inheritance. Our ears pick up, and don't neglect the intimate part. But let me also share the inheritance part with you. And this is by no means exhaustive. And here's an opportunity for you to dig in scripture this week and stretch out that list. But here's some of the inheritance we have as followers of Jesus. Complete forgiveness of sins. You could focus on that all week. Unlimited access to the Father. We're never cut off. Can you hear me now? God, can you hear me down? Oh, I guess his phone is down for the day. No. Promises of eternal life. Let's just focus on family. We all have unique backgrounds, histories in our life, family history. When you come to faith and trust in Christ, you are inserted into God's family. Part of the family. And the family is gifted. Every family member is gifted something. He's gifted a family. He's given a gifted a church family. He, she gifted a church family, the body of Christ, for protection and for productivity. We need the body of Christ for protection. We need the body of Christ because God has given us all a mission together that we cannot fulfill on our own. You need to be a part. Everyone needs to be an active part of the body of Christ. If Jesus came to clean me up, I need the clean. And God is passionate about his family. Here's a question. Am I? Am I, or I am, passionate about God's family? God the Father sent his Son Jesus to rewrite our life history every day. Here's that last key. Key is the Bible, key is accountability to one another, and here's a key, the family of God. And celebrating the family of God by being a part of the family of God. Here is wake up truth to motivate us in the year ahead. Let me throw this out for everyone, starting with me. Am I gathering in worship regularly? Here's a wake-up call. Am I growing in accountability? Am I growing in life? Let me tell you, there's a few things about to be announced. More opportunities to grow in life with others for your benefit, for their benefit. Here's a wake-up call. Gather in worship. Grow in life, in body life, with the body of Christ. Number three, it's not just about us. It's not just about us in these walls. We have a mission, a unique mission, that only we as a group can fulfill. We're not called to worry about everybody else's mission as much as we are to focus on the mission God has for us right now. We need to grow, or to go in ministry to our world, to our sphere of influence. Wake up, wake up, wake up. There's some challenges. But as we've looked at those wake-up calls, there's some calming, confidence-building truth there. God is who he is, and he's never going to stop being who he is. And he's never going to cut off that personal connection with us as followers of Jesus. And he's doing his work, and the gates of hell and evil chapters of history will not stop God from doing what he wants to do and his plan to do. And it's going to use us to get it done. So there's encouragement to get out of bed with confidence, with commitment, engaged, and with enthusiasm. Father, you are who you are. You are a holy God and you are a loving God. You didn't leave us here to just stutter and trip up and not know what to do or how to do anything better. You have invaded history. You have invaded our lives with eternal truth that can change every one of us. Change who we are as a person and change our destiny. The work that you do gives every one of our lives dignity, hope, and a mission to be faithful to. Lord, thank you for what you have invested in us. We thank you for your history of using others to strengthen our lives. As we look into the Bible, we see that fleshed out for us. And we marvel at the remodel project that you did in the author of today's verses, from one who absolutely hated Christians and hated the church of Jesus, changing him into someone who is such an encouragement, an example to us today. Lord, thank you for preserving that unique testimony that gives us all hope as we open our eyes tomorrow. It is our privilege as the family of God to come to the communion table as we focus on the bread. We are reminded of the perfect sacrifice and the perfect substitute. As our attention is drawn to the Jews, we are reminded that Jesus is the perfect solution. As we come, we are to come examining our lives by allowing the Spirit of God to speak into our lives, encouraging us, challenging us, cleaning us. May we allow the cleaning process to move forward with confession. May we leave this table, taking the truths of this table with us in celebration, with renewed energy, with a recreated vision, with a refreshed spirit. All that is possible because of the work of God in salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for the work of the Spirit. Amen.